Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Assalamu alaikum to everyone. How are you this evening? Yes, we've entered into a new day. It may look the same, but it's a new day. So as I seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we openly acknowledge that Allah is the one God. There are no partners with Allah. And Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of Allah. Greetings of peace again, as tonight is all about governance. That means it includes everything else that we've been discussing about education, about economics, and about social culture, but definitely governance. Just exactly what does it mean in general? What does it mean? We hear the word govern, but what does, you know, being in the position of governance, well, and is the act or the process of governing. All right. As I read, it is the act or process of governing or overseeing the control and the direction of something, such as a country or an organization. Government, and government, that is the noun itself. Makes up the process. That which is the product of the process is the government, but the governance is the actual process. So setting, as we go into tonight, coming from you, we welcome you to express yourself about governance and what is pertinent to your connection with yourself, your family, your friends, your community, your coworkers, your religious entity, your connection in so many areas. How much of it is governance for you? And I know I can just say, you know, governance that I've come to know and realize, what is it that I truly govern of myself? Do I govern my time? I know Allah owns the time. Allah, you know, is the creator of time. Time becomes a womb whereby we coordinate, we plan, but then the actual process of everything happens in time, even while we're planning, even while we're doing physically nothing or, you know, not even wanting to think about anything intentionally. We don't have any focus in our mind. Something's governing us at that time. And perhaps I can't say it's really time, but I want to hear from you, of course, if you will, this governance. I know I'm realizing I've assumed so much that I just submit. Oh, Allah, I submit. I submit to learn myself better. I submit to understand that which is in my power. And I've learned that I really truly have that which I cannot control and how much control is necessary. I know that I have to govern my thoughts. I can't stop myself from thinking, especially if I'm in an arena or I've experienced something and I may go on and do something else. For example, someone may have said something directly or indirectly to me or directly to me, and it perhaps offended me, but I governed my thinking at the moment, didn't let it be shown that it affected me. And then I got to myself with my thoughts, and I weighed it out. I've learned to weigh it out. How important is it that I be offended by it? And then if it offended me, was it something that I really truly need to pay attention to? And so I don't take anything lightly or for granted when I hear certain words. And then hearing about others, I can't govern the process about others other than, you know, with children. I can coordinate the time. I can coordinate things that their activities. I can govern certain things in my household. So that kind of conversation, if we can have tonight about governance, and then when we get to government and the areas of education and economics, how much governance is there? All right. So I'm going to check my board here, and as we begin, we began with 334-419. Michael Hamid, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. How are you this evening?
I am well. I am calm. I'm saying that word and I'm laughing because calm is, you know, you find that area and you go, okay, I can really take a deep breath. So that's how I am right now.
Okay. Sounds like you're at peace. That's a good thing.
I mean, And how are you?
Alhamdulillah. I'm at peace. Alhamdulillah. Thankful and grateful. Thinking about this language. And we're expressing language. You're raising the subject of governance, and it starts with the individual. And the latter thing that you focused on in terms of controlling, you know, we have to, other people we have to negotiate with in terms of agreement. And oftentimes we have to call on Allah to help us in these negotiations because, you know, in order to get things done, we need a spirit of cooperation. So I'm looking at governance as a responsibility to control or direct ourselves. And Allah gives us the tools, and he also gives us an aim. As soon as we find out what the aim of our life is, the better we are, you know, because then we'll be moving in life with a light of guidance or direction. So God tells us that he's created us to serve his will and plan. He created the world. He created us in it. And he has a plan for both. So as soon as we understand that, I'm thinking our life will be that much more stable, because trying to move in life in the dark is like moving around a room or something of that nature with not having the proper light. You're going to bump into things unnecessarily, because if you had the light, you could see not to bump into certain things that you're not familiar with. And so life operates like that. The more light we have on our life and in our life, the better we are.
I mean, and then it's dawning on me that perhaps you hit your mute button because of the way you cut off.
No, I decided not to say, you know.
Okay.
I'll stop with that. I don't want to wear that out. I'll stop with that. You know, I decided to change that.
Okay. I'll take our attention to Surah 7. I call myself late bloomer, what have you, but I'm really enjoying and appreciating the creation with my mind on Allah being the creator of it. Allah, and then knowing Allah is not any male, any female. Allah is not someone that can just play toy with your emotions and put something before you and then take it away from you because of some disregard, something you disregarded, not intentionally, or, you know, just enjoying the thinking, the understanding that Allah truly is merciful and truly is loving and the creator. So with that, I want to go to Surah 7, 54, Surah Araf. It says, it defines it as the towering heights. But yet, the verse 54 is very, I think it's 54. One moment here. Let's see. Yeah, Surah 7:54. All right. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Seeking refuge with Allah, I seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Inna rabbakumullahu alladhi خلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ يغشي الليل النهار يطلبه حطيفا والشمس والقمر والنجوم مسخرات بأمري ألا له الخلق والأمر تبارك الله رب العالمين. صدق الله العظيم. Forgive the errors, everyone, please. Alhamdulillah. And I think some of the words stood out for us. And Yusuf Ali submitted understanding of it. Again, seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. Your guardian Lord is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and is firmly established on the throne, in parentheses, of authority, close parentheses. Allah draws the night as a veil over the day, each seeking the other in rapid succession. Allah created the sun, S-U-N, the moon, and the stars, open parenthesis, all, close parenthesis, governed by laws under Allah's command. Is it not Allah to create and to govern? Blessed be Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the world. Truly, Almighty God, words are true, as we read. And again, my emphasis is on first just knowing that Allah is not anything that can that will outright just mistreat us just because, or do something unjustly. That Allah has already placed everything before us, and that in and of itself is an acknowledgement that we're here, the creation, the rest of creation is here, and it's for our use and appreciation and our respect for it. So, yes, onto the word govern. Michael, you want to share more? And anyone else, press one on your phone, please, by all means.
Yes, this is a very important, you know, as all of them are. But the idea that Allah, highly glorified and most high, you know, he created the heavens and the earth. And the time that he did it in, you know, he also created a meaning, understanding in the languages that we speak as humans. And, you know, the saying in scripture, you know, a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years. So God's measurements are not our measurements. And he's the one that has given us measurements, a day, week, month, year, you know, decade, score, so on and so forth. And he says that the days are measured. He covers the night with the day, another night chasing it rapidly. You know, there's an order in the life that we have. But we find that those who are influential in directing the life of countries, not just individuals, but those and the world, that they do not want the members of the society. And it's obvious because of the kind of influences that are put into our life in the culture and so forth, that they don't want an orderly, logically thinking society. You know, they stimulate emotions. They stimulate habitual thinking, that has been called, what has it been called? Unconscious living, you know, living without considering, paying attention to how our life is operating, even considering taking time out to kind of measure how I'm doing in my life, you know. And you hear people talk about language, you know, in language, you know, living day to day, you know. But there are some in the social life, in the society, that have not been overwhelmed by these influences, and they are thinkers. And because they are thinkers, and they've managed to maintain their imagination, their ability to have creative thought, you know, dreaming without a context of a material kind of progress in life, but thinking thoughts that about the condition of life, not just the things in it and getting more things, but thinking about the condition of their life and other people's lives. We still have people like that. And these are the ones that God says in the previous scripture. He says, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Okay. I'm not going to go into it. I'm not going to give a lot of attention to it. But what is the harvest? And what does it mean when the harvest is ripe? And what does it mean that the laborers are few? We can understand that. You don't have enough workers for the work that has to be done. Okay, I got that, Lord. But what else are you trying to tell me? And then the Quran has more, the language is less allegorical. The Quran gives us straightforward language in terms of why we're here, to serve God's will and plan. Understand, the picture of God for us is one that doesn't need our help. He created us, and so he doesn't need our service. He was doing fine before he brought us out of nothing. Just like the outer creation, God was doing just fine. So why am I here, Lord? I'm here because he grants me the dignity to serve the plan, not him. He doesn't need our service, but to serve the plan that he has established to bring life from weakness to strength, from simplicity to more complex expressions, and so on. So let's think about that.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, and you took it right back around to process that each newborn. As I have the ability to look back over the years that I've been living and realizing that my mother became my mother, but she had a life that began for her and so on going back. And that in and of itself, birth after birth after birth, is a process. And it wasn't that we just dropped here out of, you know, the clear blue sky, if I may say that. We didn't just drop here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already had a sequential process. One thing starts after, one thing follows the other, sequentially in order. We didn't come out expressing ourselves as an adult and then go back into babyhood, baby matter, dealing with the using the senses, truly using our senses without and understanding, without even knowledge to disregard or to regard anything, just using the senses, the smell, the touch, the sight, the hearing, utilizing it so necessarily, but utilizing it to grow us, that it was necessary to have that in order for us to grow. And as we grew, wow, look at the sequences that took place. And the moment we began to really apply resolute thinking, wherein we make decisions and then it's followed by consequences or rewards. Seeing that sequence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, that in and of itself was governance. But it wasn't controlled by and isn't controlled by us at any time. We're still following the sequences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in order. Because as we get older, we can't stop it. It's a process. And as we ease into whatever is after this, the use of this body, this form, then there's another form of sequence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in order. So understanding, connecting, accepting that understanding, I said, wow. What is there to fight? I mean, what is there to resist in that matter of understanding? Giving thanks to Allah and asking, you know, for the guidance even yet in our orderly days, the days, seeing the day, the night, the day, the night, the day, the night. And it's following itself over and over and over again, and yet we give it a name or some kind. We coordinate our sequence. We coordinate or put things in certain orders. Okay, my plan is I'm 15, 16 years old and writing my journal that, okay, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to, with my first pay, I'm going to do this. My second pay, perhaps I'm going to do this, but I'm going to put some aside because I want to get a car. I want to have a car by the time I'm 18. What am I going to do after that? Well, I'll be working, and so I will work such and such place for certain at the time while going to school, to college. And so we're writing that out. We're putting things in order. Those are things that we're governing. It's not restricted by any law or anything other than, you know, no extreme. Then we feel the consequences of that. But nonetheless, I believe we all can say, who's on the phone, on the line here, we all can say that we've come through those processes. And we can look back and see where we disengaged the natural process and we went to the extreme. And lo and behold, whatever happened, we're here to tell about it. And that in and of itself is a beauty because Allah has a law governing that process. And once we recognize it, once we repent, you know, realize that we've done something that should not have done, we should not have done it, but yet we can repent. And that then we can, now I can say, that in and of itself is a mercy from Almighty God. So please press 1 on your phone if you'd like to come into the conversation tonight. We're hedging ourselves for tomorrow night, Saturday, which is the governance where we use our resources and share governance for our educational sake. So, and at the same time, next month, there will be certain activities that we will prayerfully, we hope to have everyone who wants to contribute show some physical action. And that action, then we come back together and we discuss that action and see where is it connected to improving the life of ourselves and others? And if it's not, alhamdulillah, we will make the adjustment necessary, inshallah. But we would do that at the beginning of Ramadan, where we would do the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats once again. But we can do this every day for ourselves. I said a late bloomer. Perhaps I'm the only one, a late bloomer, that haven't been doing the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats intentionally. It's only been
most
where
don't.
Something occurred.
Everyday folks have been conditioned to think on a certain level, and the environment with all kinds of flashy things to look at and scary things and people telling you to be afraid of this, and that environment does not invite us analyze where we are over to any degree, you know, let alone a few minutes every day or maybe even a longer period in the day looking at self, or during the week to just take time out, maybe on the weekend, think about where I am, where I want to go, what perhaps are the things that are in my way internally, and what might be out there as obstacles to get in my way. And the invitation to compare ourselves to others is a bad idea, but it's an idea that many people have in terms of we grow up as children with this thing called peer pressure, and it's still stimulated, you know, in terms of the way the environment is operating, the culture operates, you know. We have idols, you know. We're invited to look up to people and to measure ourselves against what they're doing, how they're doing, how they're talking, how they're thinking, you know, rather than the more positive use of time and energy is to measure myself, how I'm doing today as opposed to how I did yesterday, you know. But, you know, most of us don't think about how the environment is influencing us. They've got a thing called, I think it's called a locus. And the locus is the focus. And some people look at the focus as being things outside of themselves that are affecting their life. But the more natural focus or the more natural locus of concern should be us, you know. How I'm directing my, you know, how I'm governing my life. You know, I've got a certain amount of control over where I go, where I spend my time. Like this idea was given to me years ago in terms of worship. The kind of time that we direct, okay, we say we worship God, but what does that devotional time look like? For the Muslim, we're told it's the whole life. It's not just Sunday or Saturday or Friday, but it's the whole life. You know, where is my devotional time going? And how does my devotional time to God measure up with my devotional time over the particular ball team that I like, regardless of what the sport is? Or a particular sports figure or entertainment figure or some other figure, you know, the children in the ghetto being excited by certain ghetto influences that have flash and have money, you know. So, you know, let's look at these things. And I believe we need an environment of people that will invite these kind of conversations. And lastly, God, this is like I said, this chapter 7 is very important. One of the verses, I can't remember which one. It might be 113. But it tells us what arrogance will do. What happens to the arrogant? how they're made small. They're arrogant. Arrogant, when you think of arrogance, you think of a person that's puffed up, chest stuck out, brain stuck out, you know, in terms of their accomplishments compared to other people's accomplishments. Allah says that type of behavior and thinking will be made small. And some of the translations said it would be debased or brought low. But the idea is that it's going to be made small, of no real consequences, you know, to the person or to their influence in the world. And we see Allah doing that with certain influences, you know, being made small or being exposed as liars, you know, that sort of thing. Liars and deviants, so that they're not what they put themselves up to be. And then there's a verse 126 where Allah invites us with a dua to call on Him. Rabbana afrigh alayna sabran wa tawaffana muslimin. Our Lord, empty out on us and the sabr. Sabran is the patience, constancy. But sabr is a very special word in terms of how we practice patience. We're not just folding our hands and waiting on stuff to happen to us. We're engaging, trusting that Allah is in charge of the outcome, you know, and we're patiently looking for the good outcome from God. But we're still doing, you know, working to have our influence in our life, the life of our family, and the life of the community around us. And then the last part is a reminder. You know, you created me for a certain purpose, Lord. Watawafana Muslimin. You created me to be a Muslim, true human being, and I'm asking you to help me to live up to that, because I made a covenant with you in that regard, that I'm Muslim and I'm a human being, and I have to be the human being and the Muslim that you intended for me, not what somebody else intends. And I'll stop there.
Praise be to Allah. A lot to munch on as we go to Bilal. We're going to come back to what you were sharing too. I want to share more. Bilal, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the think tank.
Allahu Akbar. Very crazy detail, Allah. Alhamdulillah. I was anticipating that when we start talking about government, that we're running to a thing concerning racism and the cause and effect that it had on us.
Governance.
Great.
Yeah, I just wanted to indicate covers government, the whole system of politics and government,
yes,
in and of, you know, the various structures of government. But governance,
yes,
covers us as well. So, alhamdulillah.
Okay.
I just want to share that.
Alhamdulillah. So I want to give us what the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has to say concerning something, racism. You say that every hurt is not intended to be a hurt. You say a lot of hurt is intended to wake up our conscience. You say, and sometimes God sacrificed some of us to wake up the conscience of the many. You say even the individual would be rewarded immensely if he would keep faith, remain faithful to God. This is my strong belief. You say, and I am a free man because of this belief. You say, my belief freed me. You say, I am not enslaved by racism. So we look at our sojourn here in America as being a part of Allah, a real and plans for us to be who He is now, responsible for our life, responsible for the lives of other people, and establishing a great and good respect for citizenship, and to inshallah to evolve to such a point that our generation to come, just maybe from our group or just a group of believers coming together, that they will have a great form of a democratic, or I say a Islamic republic or government that is really for the people, by the people, and things be functioning under God's will and plan. So this is what I'm envisioning from this move that is taking place right now. So there's something else I just like to read. He said, regarding our liberties, he said, regarding life and liberty, he said, God created us to be free. He said that the government didn't have to give us that and can't take it away from us. So, we know the Ivy Man, he pick up the flag and he established himself as a person in here in America, and he know the value of citizenship. And he know the value of changing things, the effect that living Islam, the effect that it has on changing things. Nala, and she has a group of people that she deals with, associated with, and they definitely know the value of changes and what what can happen because of change. We got many pockets of believers, whether they belong to our religion or not, that bringing about a change in the society because of their belief in God and what God wants for the human being. So praise be to Allah because of that. And alhamdulillah, I'm just gonna leave that right now. But I've done a lot of different things. I have this book, Democracy, on Islam and American Democracy. I need some direction. Amen. What the demon Muhammad left us, and he speak on Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with him and Jesus alayhi salam. He Muhammad said that he was a man like Moses, and then he began to dwell on that point and why. So inshallah, we thank him to Allah that we have a constitution here, but the thing about it, the evil and the corruption in this society just allowing the masses of the people to be able to come to the logical conclusion, although they have a U.S. Constitution. So we here to do that and formulate a great government for people. And so inshallah, we continue just to grow and respect life that Allah has given us, and we want to make sure that every human being be treated fairly and justly. And if we have the power as far as words are concerned and scripture is concerned, we want to join together with those who making who progressing in life and making a great change. So praise be to Allah for us being able to be in a position just as government ourselves first. So praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. And praise be to Allah. As we're coming to our next caller, I want to ask the question too. Because we spoke of the sequences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made evident to us that with our own birth, from birth, we couldn't skip over any sequence in our life. And using our senses, we could not think when we were born. We couldn't jump over any process that Allah put in place. And then looking at the parallel to that in creation, my question is there at some point you think, now I know for myself, but do you think that as thinkers, as we began to think, did we begin to close ourselves, cover ourselves with not the group intellect, but the group think, like following a crowd and not having to be held accountable individually for whatever came out of a certain situation, that we apply that same kind of thinking when we think of government. So we let go of the governance from ourselves having to have applicable processes happening in our life that is going to be impactful upon the life of everyone else, but that we hold ourselves accountable when we recognize it. So I'm asking that question. Is it that possibly I can speak for myself that, yes, I felt okay and good about being a part of the group, a part of something, and I didn't have to be singled out, you know, as long as somebody else was leading. And so now I've come to realize, praise be to Allah, my very actions are the result of my thinking, and my thinking now I want it to have some kind of good destination, that it is going to be impactful upon the community life that I want to see, that it will be better for everyone, my contribution. So let's go to our next caller. Thank you, Bilal. 706-627. Assalamu alaikum, Mohammed. Welcome to the CWFC Think Tank.
Wa alaikum assalam, this is Brother Mohammed from the Ummah, Prophet Mohammed, by the way, of Hinesville, Georgia. The good work that Allah is blessing us to do every day, I thank Allah much that what we're talking about right now, nothing's going to take the place of Al-Islam. Nothing. And the sooner that the believers are one God, regardless of what concept they're doing it in, but they do believe in the oneness, that they're aiming at one creator, nothing's going to take the place. Remember, we have to be mindful that we in our innocence, and maybe being a new people, a new baby on the block, or whatever you want to call it, we start to realize that when Imam Muhammad picked up that flag, he was saying that the Muslim, he was saying Al-Islam will bring this country to its conclusion. He was talking to the Muslims. He's always talking to the Muslims. He's always talking and making sure that anyone else can hear what the Muslims giving praise to Allah, giving thanks for the Quran, giving thanks for the life example of Prophet Muhammad. When we talk to each other, you know, we're not ashamed. We're not going to try to take Allah's favor and make it American, make it frank, make it French, put it up underneath the leadership of a way of life that Allah told us that Al-Islam is better than all of them. He said, this is my favor. There's nothing else that the human being has seen is better than this way that I'm giving you now called Al-Islam. I'm inviting you to put your will in my will. If you want to be successful and see what I have promised you about the life after this life. So it's very important that with whatever kind of diplomacy, language we use or whatever, that we must understand that the problem with the world is we still not comfortably know how to deliver the message. So that everyone will know how peaceful, how kind, how humble, how trustworthy, how we really are. Because we're wasting a lot of time trying to teach them about who they already are. They know they're French. They know their history. When we can come out of this dude, like Allah says, and establish a way of life that you will protect it by any cause necessary, because it is the way for all of humanity that our Creator is bringing to us. We have to take what we have learned and what's still interfering with our firmness and putting our feet back on the ground, putting our trust back in Allah. But Al-Islam will never be replaced by anything on this earth. It'll just be the people who embrace it, the people who live underneath the refuge of it, the people who do like they did in Medina, trust it, are going to be the ones who be successful and get the benefit out of what they want. So that is the conclusion that we as Muslims, especially those of this community of Imam Wardi Muhammad, we have to understand our mission. Nothing's better than Al-Islam, except the way that we present it. We got a lot of hypocritical ways of displaying Al-Islam. You know, we don't even call it Al-Islam no more. We've shortened it. We've done a lot of things to it. We got schools of thought. We got all kind of ways that we had to bring into its completeness and perfection. And that seems like it might be the community of Imam Wardi Muhammad, that Allah has given it to people who believe as we believe, but they have not yet, by Allah's permission or Allah's reasoning, gave them or put them in a burden that they can't bear. So the work belongs to us. We have to do it by being a model human being, being a model community, having model restaurants, model this, model that, everything based upon only what God permits. And then we will see the type of success this world can't believe. But right now, look at how many people are saying they're Muslims. Look how many systems of knowledge that Muslims are trying to establish the Quran in it, that's totally against it. There's no kings, there's no princesses, there's no prime mirrors. There's not all these funny names that people are still bringing from the past into their life and trying to make it a part of the fiber of the Quran, part of the human example of Prophet Muhammad. It just ain't going to work, and everybody's waiting on us. And I do believe, again, I don't have no doubt about it. I believe the community of Imam Wardi Muhammad and all the Muslims here in the United States are waiting on us to accept what they still accept, and they're not really fighting it. They just don't know. They just don't know how to live the guidance of the Quran, how to live it as a human being without compromising. This is what Allah created. We can't change our Islam, and we can't water it down, shake it down, and all like that. We got to go on and do what we're supposed to do. Since it seems like it really is on us. We new people. We have a new spirit of how to live this way of life called Islam. We have the strength, no fear, no doubt about that it's the best thing for all countries who call themselves countries, for all people who got all kind of nationalities and got all kind of artificial reality to live. And we can do it, and I pray a lot that we can, because we can do it, because we can't duck it either unless we turn our back on it. And then we'll become part of the hypocrites. Just want to say that.
Thank you. Thank you so much for, again, continuing to remind us of the process that's necessary. And just as I was sharing, that there's a process that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us every day. We read from Surah 7, Surah Al-Araf, Ayat, what was 54, where Allah revealed that Allah is the one governing everything, even us and creation, but has given us the opportunity to govern those things about ourselves. And as I said, we could not leap over one process. Everything is, there's a sequence to it, an order to it. And when we are not, when we, and now I'm going to speak of those of us, and we know who we are, who has been subjected to idol worshiping, knowingly or unknowingly, and living in a system of thinking that we've been, that influenced us to not think beyond leading, governing from governmental structures, and utilizing the system that has been created that's been against us, certain parts of it, utilizing it to say we're excelling. So now, Fonzala has afforded us the opportunity to look into our lives, look into our individual life, do an assessment of our individual life, and see what it is that we are about, and then begin to govern it accordingly, and then connect with those of like minds and govern that process from the connection point of why. Why are we connecting? Why? And as long as we answer the why, then we can see the progress as long as we follow a certain process. There's step-by-step knowing the who, the what, the when, the where, the why, and then the how. So Allah has afforded us to understand that. And when we answer those questions, then we're not leaping over and becoming impatient in the process. So here we are tonight at the table. For those of us, like I say, I'm the first to say about myself, for those who are already ahead and moving on, alhamdulillah, I can only work from the lane that I'm in of understanding. And so I'm giving myself over to that process to say, oh Allah, what is it that I can contribute? Then as I have made assessment of myself and looking at the life, then I've seen that when we speak of calendar, I'm not just speaking of a paper calendar, speaking of a calendar that has the influence of developing the life and then looking at the structure of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, as the structure of the community life that he addressed and how he addressed it. And so with that understanding, then we can say we're actualizing the process of living the Muslim life. But so Michael, I'm coming back to you now, as you were sharing. To be effective in this process, you know, I can't help but want to explain something in a way that is not confusing and is not overburdening, and pray that, oh, Allah, okay, Allah, who, are we on the right track? Of course, I'm going to say yes now, but Allah, how are we going to get this done? And everything comes back to me. My mother would say, take one step at a time, and then take another step and another step. But those steps have to be, concrete and not just moving on the wind of others' emotions simply because today is one thing and tomorrow is another, or we group everything together and say, okay, let's go. And everybody's saying, okay, well, let's go. Okay, let's go. And what movement has to happen? So, Michael, talk about strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities and threats. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to say, let's go. But alhamdulillah, take it from there, please.
Well, there's alhamdulillah. There's help. You know, Allah created us. God created us to give us help, to give us many other things, mercy and forgiveness. But we are servants of his will and his plan. That's why we're in the world. Whether we do that consciously or unconsciously, the better results comes from the conscious awareness of serving God's will and plan. But even those in opposition to the plan are serving God's plan, because he's the overriding authority of life and the expression of life and the actions of life. Allah is over all of that. He's not the one that intervenes. You know, he's looking down on each little misstep that we make as human beings or as groups of human beings and says, okay, I'm going to send a thunderbolt to slap you and spank you. No, he's created this life to have laws and principles. And when we go against the laws and principles in our day-to-day living, then that behavior, the consequences punish us. You know, I use the example being very naive and very curious as a child. I'm still curious, but I'm not so naive. I don't think I'm naive at all, but Maybe, I don't know. I have to look at that. But as a child, I wanted to see, you know, I saw older people in my home environment plug up lamps and other things, toasters, and the results, you know, light and heat and the bread becomes toasty. And so I decided to take a fork and stick it in the light plug. Well, that's going against the laws. You know, the rules of how electricity operates. And by doing that gave me a big, big, big shock. You know, I never experienced anything like that shock. And Allah spared my life, but the lesson was learned that was the misuse of my fork and that light socket. I wasn't using either of them properly, and I suffered the consequences. And that's how life operates. You know, this world invites us to romantic love, you know, I'm so in love. You got a feeling. There's an attraction there. You got a feeling. But you're not thinking straight, you know. You're feeling and imagining certain scenarios with the person that you say you love, and it becomes problematic. But look, that kind of social conditioning, when you hear about families are coming together and bringing their children together for a marriage based on the elders and the family saying, yeah, I think that would be a good match, and that would be good for both of our families. Oh, no, crazy, you know. How do you do that? That's like a business deal. Well, much of our life is business deal, you know, whether we know it or not. The marriage life is a business deal. And the other, you know, just look up the word business, you know. And so we've been socially conditioned a certain way to go against our own interests. Boyfriend, girlfriend come together and they break up and they look for another boyfriend and a girlfriend. But all the time, depending on how intimate those relations are, it's affecting the future relationship. And finding a suitable and steady relationship after going through love and romance circumstances, makeup and breakup circumstances, and not realizing how that affects us, you know. And then you have some women that made many bad choices, so they hate men. But they don't know that most of the men that are out there available were not what they chose to choose. They chose to choose the Bebes and the Ray Rays who had no sense of responsibility or moral foundation. They just wanted to live their life and experience the good of life and just wanted to have fun. That's a very small population among men. But now you hate men because of what a few men you have allowed into your life. And it becomes problematic. Same with a young man. You know, they got a name for that, misogyny. But they also have a name for the young men that have watched their mamas go in and out of those kind of relationships. And they don't want to say they hate mama. They hate what mama's doing. And they kind of put all women in the mama category. You know, they use a broad brush and paint all the women like that. So now you got Miss Andrew. I don't like the way women move, you know, and I'm very suspect of women. You can't trust a woman, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And the religious life has helped that with woman being a Jezebel and Eve taking the apple to Adam and what that picture does in terms of relationships and the disrespect for women in terms of what God created them to be, you know, that kind of picture, you know, coming from Scripture. Makes the social life very problematic when it comes to male-female relationships. And I'll stop with that.
Alhamdulillah.
See, and that's what you're talking about. Alhamdulillah. That was that, Bilal? I just wanted to say this.
Go ahead.
That's what I'm speaking of. Thank you. The process and the steps that have to be taken. Since we have opened up, you know, it's like a wound that closed up too quickly and the process was not followed, allowing it to heal from the inside out. Depending on the depth of the wound, it takes longer. Whatever time it takes for it to heal, it's still – I took care of a young man that had been shot with a rifle. The back of his head, the back of his skull – of his skull was shot off. But he lived through it. But his brother was upset because the mother had transitioned and because they had the first Thanksgiving dinner together, I think it was the first one, and the youngest son was always the oldest son considered mama's boy, always getting his way. So the family had put the Thanksgiving dinner away, like in the oven, and, you know, for whoever came later, they could get their own food. So the oldest son come later, and he saw the table was clear, and the kitchen appeared to, and the youngest son teased him and said, "Oh, you're too late, you know, we've eaten everything." And he went on to walk on outside the house, and the older brother his emotions had come so high that he ran and grabbed the rifle and aimed it and shot his brother in the back of the head. Now, the sister took him to the hospital, and she told him, she said, "You may want to stay because get admitted." Well, he didn't feel it, and when they were trying to stitch it up, because he didn't want to stay at the hospital. So when his sister went to undress it for him and showed it to him with a mirror, hand mirror, and looking at it from the back and with the mirror, and when he saw it, he passed out. He did not have any idea that his skull had been, that cap back there had been blown away. And then he got admitted into the hospital, of course. And so that's how I connected, working on the surgical floor. And I when he shared the story with me, I'm saying, the doctor said to him, "Do not get aroused, because your stitches, as they have stitched, would break apart, would come loose." So imagine you're thinking, and of course he did, and he had to come back, and the outside was healing, but they had to open it back up. So I said all of that to say, the wound, the emotional wound that we have come through, we now African Americans. And just because we are Muslim, it's a saving force by Allah, from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah is offering us a time to open the wound that we can carefully open and heal as we're understanding our servitude, that we cannot neglect our duties or what is expected of us. As Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, you know, he had the times in his life that he had to ponder over and seek Allah's protection while he still had to be engaged in the very connection with those who caused harm to his family. And all of that has been left for us to look at. But we have to, I mean, I'm looking at my chest. My body has skin, but beneath it has bones. So the firmer we are from the inside, and soft at the same time, knowing when. I'll stop right there. You know, alhamdulillah. Let me just stop right there. Bilal, please, by all means.
Let me see. You know, praise be to Allah. I'm gonna just go through a process of thinking. This is meeting man Muhammad. Okay. He said that, you know, that many times, he, like, Arab people, when they came, you know, from, they were freed physically from slavery. He said that the thing about it is the problem was that they were thinking more as subjects. They wasn't thinking as free thinkers. And he said it took some time, basically maybe with Frederick Douglass and different people began to come about and think like that. So I have, you know, basically I have to examine the way I'm thinking about something. If I'm thinking about somebody that recognized that God is with me now, and the situation that I came through, I'm able to look at the positive effect of it, that it made me a better human being and more human, you see, and then my appreciation will come closer for myself as being with people. I can send my child to public school, and I let them know, say, "Look, that's your school. The carpet, that belongs to you. The paper on the floor, that belongs to you. You don't have to wait for the janitor. Pick it up. Keep it clean. You know, keep yourself clean. Dress a certain way when you go to school and act a certain way. Be of good character." And also the fact that even when you walk in the street, you know, I think now it's your kind of person. I do it too sometimes. I pick up a piece of paper. Somebody might say, "Oh, that one of them old crazy people. I need picking up paper now off the street." He said, yeah, he said, but the bottom line is, he said, I'm a healthy citizen, though. You see, that I view that as good citizenship to do this. Because why? Because Allah, this is Allah's world. And I'm a custodian of that world. And I value and respect what I have, the land I have, what's around me. Because it all belongs to Allah. So I treat it the same way. So it's quite like what now I said, it's just a way of thinking. And Imam Muhammad, I'm just taking it to you this way because this is the way Imam Muhammad is giving it in his book. So he can make it kind of like very simple for us and very plain for us to go about doing that. He said, even in the raising of our children. He said, we don't have the children bombarded by pornography and all the filth on the internet and TV and different things like that. And we know that it's hurting their young mind and it's killing their sensitivity about things. He said, but we have to realize, we have to reflect on the fact that this is our society and it's not safe by the children. So we have to go about doing something. And we see people out there working against pornography and the different ills that are corrupting them, we should join with them and fight that battle, you see. So it's just kind of like a process. My name, Michael always be saying about the process, but that's a process of thinking, you see. And so I don't have to, be painful, be figuring out government against me, this, that, and other. No, I'm here to, I'm going to see how can I improve this world. You know, so praise be to Allah. We're here for the cleaning up, you know, and the moving forward. You know, we can keep it simple and we can keep it easy and it's going to get more complex. But as you get complex, we know that we are obligated to what? To learn our religion. So we begin to learn more of what Allah says in the Quran. We learn the Quranic Arabic. We learn the Islamic. Whatever it takes to make us a better servant of Allah, we learn that, and so we'll be prepared for what's coming ahead, you know, because why? We have to make that difference. So praise be to Allah.
Alaykum as-salam. I agree with Allah.
Yes, that true person. We're going to go to a public service announcement, as Imam Kareem will always say. I've been derelict on my duties there, everyone. Please, we welcome everyone. Don't, whatever we say individually, don't let it turn you to think that, you're not to be engaged in the conversation. Come with what you have, inshallah, with what you have, because we will be better by it as we know from what you're thinking and how engaged you are in your thinking to whatever your contribution is, inshallah. It will be welcome. Alhamdulillah. So stay with us as we go to our public service announcement, everyone.
Assalamu alaikum. On behalf of the directors of the CWSC Strategic Family Planning Institute, we would like to invite you to this year's A Time to Be Grateful in Miami, Florida. We have a special treat in store for you this year in Miami, and we will be hosting a 40 and over social to provide those who are looking for a mate the opportunity to meet and greet in person on Saturday, December 21st from 3 to 5 p.m. on the terrace of the Hilton Hotel, downtown Miami. You will hear from the directors, Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz and Munir Habil Uma, on how they are working to promote, encourage, and facilitate healthy marriage initiatives. We will have personal introductions for everyone in attendance, leaving enough time to socialize with one another after. Now, before we meet in person, we are going to make sure that you have enough time to truly get to know one another well before. And we will be having bi-weekly Zoom meetings beginning Friday, November 1st at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until we meet in Miami on December 21st. For more information, tune into AM360. It's all about courtship and marriage on Tuesdays from 7 to 9 p.m. or email us at halaqa360@yahoo.com. Again, that's halaqa360@yahoo.com to get the Zoom link. We look forward to seeing you in Miami. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, acting CEO for American Muslim 360, with a special greeting this Thanksgiving. On this day of giving thanks and each day, we pray all are in peace and security and in the company of family and friends with plenty of provisions. At this time, let us remember those in our family or in near or distant places, those who have less than we do, or whose peace is disturbed by fear, hunger, or loss of hope. Let us remember those abroad defending our freedom we have here at home. And let us also remember all in our extended human family in war-torn places yearning for just a clean cup of water, a morsel of bread, a friendly smile, or a reprieve from the elements and the sounds of conflict. Make a prayer for security and prosperity for all. CWSC and AM 360 wish you and your family a peaceful Thanksgiving, and if you're traveling, a safe journey and return home. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, always giving thanks.
Alhamdulillah.
Always. Alhamdulillah.
Yes. And, you know, this the day Thanksgiving and this month of Thanksgiving, it gives us a teachable moment that gratitude should not be something that's given for one day or one week or one month, but the spirit of gratitude should continue throughout the year, you know, in our individual lives and in the group life, you know. And I think that those kind of ideas are what Al-Islam represents to us, these universal ideas. And I consider myself a student of Imam Muhammad, and there's times when I may not mention his name, but I know that my trust in his logic, the language, his commitment to the Quran and to Prophet Muhammad's life, and you know, observing him actively applying the behavior and thinking of Prophet Muhammad in his individual life, brought about a trust in me for what he was offering. And so, I may say something, but it's not Brother Michael, it's the Abdullah in me. You know, it's the Michael Abdullah, not Michael Hameen, but the Michael Abdullah that is seeking to serve the will and plan of God and place myself and ask Allah to place me around men and women that have the same kind of spirit, like-mindedness, you know. And I don't want to be the sharpest tool in the toolkit, you know. And I grow by being around people that are sharper than me, and I'm aware of that, you know. And it's not something that I have to say all the time. It's just a kind of an awareness that I need to be around people that are doing more, that are thinking higher, you know, and the like, you know, because that's going to make me a better servant, a better Abdullah.
I mean. Right away now in my mind, I'm asking myself, each moment that passes, and the children that are caught in situations that they can't, how they filter out what is normal and what is abnormal. And then for those who have the opportunity to be able to filter that out, they have a sense of, okay, they've had the good in their immediate surroundings, that they understand when something is not so good, and they are able to move away from it. But when the situation is already upon those who are experiencing the ill will and can't move away from it, and then come through it again, and a lot, this is, and the reason why I'm saying is the greatness of Allah, the greatness, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses our minds to be such that when we remember situations that have not been so good and we're able to move away from it, and Allah blesses us to, I don't think the word repent, or not repent, but forgive, come into our mind immediately. But when we're in the company of, or somewhere we hear the word forgive, and that the forgiveness includes anyone who's violated, forgive the process, but not just forgive and not have something to replace that, replace the pain with, and to replace the pain with as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us to understand the love that Allah gives. You know, how we may see rain, some of us may see rain and appreciate it so that we just take in the raindrops falling on our face. And somebody says, why are they walking in the rain? They don't know what's giving us relief.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. This idea of forgiveness, you know, there are some real demon people out there, some real dragon-type souls out there that they have made choices, made themselves, and God speaks about them, you know, the people that have made choices to earn them the hellfire. And so when they violate the innocent, oftentimes they tell us, you know, this is a time where we're learning more and more about our human psychology, and the most excellent expression of that, or insights into that, are the Holy Quran, the way Allah, the language, particularly in the Arabic, but you can also get insight from the English translations. And the forgiving of self, this idea of the idea of shame after trauma has really affected a lot of people. There's a psychologist that you can Google, you can YouTube some of his lectures and interviews. His name is Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, and he talks about how trauma is the number one problem here in America, and it affects the business side, the leadership side. It affects all walks of life, all ways of life expression. And most of us don't know a lot about it. But this idea of shame coming out of a bad situation where somebody has been emotionally, intellectually, or physically violated, and how that can bring about shame in that individual. And the individual has to forgive themselves, that there has to be a higher meaning, more than just their suffering and feeling shame. There has to be a higher meaning for God to allow something terrible to happen in my life, something very bitter. You know, there has to be a reason for that, you know. And the prophet told us what was going to pass us by is going to pass us by. And that which is going to befall us is going to befall us, because there's a logic to life. And it may be higher logic than we can understand and get our heads around, but life has a logic. And my thinking, just walking around thinking, sometimes we suffer things, not just that we have to go through them, but us being able to deal with those things can help someone else. that might be lost in terms of self-destructive behavior or, you know, not really functioning well, are being able to function after something bad happens to us that's similar, may help them to say, okay, I can do it. If Michael can do it, I can do it. So I'll stop with that.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. We have Muhammad. Thank you for returning. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, Mike.
Wa alaikum assalam. I think one, see what we're doing, we're reviewing what Allah has taught us through history, through Imam Warfi Muhammad, through most of all Prophet Muhammad, is to tell us that of thinking. When he told us we were thinking human beings, he was saying, y'all no longer have to ponder about what's already done happened. You don't have to ponder about what was done to you, what you've done to somebody else. A thinker is thinking about how he's going or she is going to do what Allah asked them to do, and they haven't done it yet. And how we're going to use the knowledge of the past only to do what we haven't done. We think that thinking means that we or stay in a past pondering of information we already know. We all have been well taught by Allah. We have all been well taught by the Quran. We all have been well educated by the life example of Prophet Muhammad. But what we're not doing is using our intelligence to build a halal society, a society that's only accept what Allah permits. And that is where we get in the saddling across the fence all the time, being hypocritical all the time. But we know that we have a problem. But that's the problem is, it's hypocrisy. And we're wasting all of our thinking on something that's already in the past. We couldn't change it, you know. But we can change the future by doing what Allah say do, by establishing halal from the basis on halal land, halal food, halal home, halal. We can do something different that the world has yet to see. They was doing it when they had revelation. They were trying to build kingdom on earth in their translation. They were trying to build heaven on earth in their translation. The more we go back, so we're in the future, though. We are a new people. That means that we're not going to do anything that is old. We're supposed to do what we haven't done. Think about how we're going to do it. Think about when we're going to do it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what a thinking human being do. Ain't it strange that Allah comes to tell us that you are a thinking human being? So that means all the other human beings wasn't thinking? No, because Shaitan was giving them, interfering with their thought pattern, testing them. But we don't have to go through that because we didn't have many people sacrifice and depend upon Allah to get them out of the confusion, the false reality, the false understanding, application of what Shaitan was pumping into them with people who he had in his workforce, using that terminology. But us, we're special, but we don't believe that. We won't come out of this dunya and establish right in the same shared space a halal reality. We won't do it because we're straddling the fence. But we have to go about sharing it with each other in a way to where we don't mess with each other's heart. That's what Allah said. He said, don't mess with the human being's faith because it's in their heart. So if they believe in a tree or they believe in God or whatever, work with their other senses that they have and make rational, logic dialogue with them so that they can see that they are free to do what God say do and don't have no fear about it. Just think about that word doubt. That's a strong, serious thing to think about. When Allah says, after this short 7 ayat, you should have no more doubt if you go farther in this book, the Quran. It's good. We just have to quit letting ourselves steal, waste our time pondering too much. What they said, my grandmother used to tell, oh, you think it too hard. You think too much about that. Think about the future. Think about what you ain't done, boy. Think about what you can do, boy. Think about how you going to do it. You got too much to think about that's in front of you than to you to be continue to rely upon what has already passed you, because all it does was stunt your growth. Shaitan, he doesn't call us from all sides. He does that. But he don't really, his real call comes from behind us. He's trying to make us turn around. He's trying to stop our forward thinking about what Allah say. Allah's in front of us, using that terminology. He's not behind us. The past is gone. Only Allah handles that. But our future is wide open if we can just, what they say, focus. If we can just stay focused. When you follow in the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad, that means you're behind somebody. You're walking behind the Prophet. You're not worried about what's behind you. Every step you take, as long as your step is in the step of the Prophet, you know you are safe. Because you are following and going forward to your destiny that Allah has already promised us. Can you imagine we come into this reality, Allah said the victory is already yours? All you got to do is follow these instructions, this book, and that helps everybody. Because the Quran is for everybody. And it's available to everybody.
Let's do this, Muhammad. Praise be to Allah, all of us, really. Okay, taking to write down exactly what you just said. And, okay, so now ABC, if you will. A, then, would be, follow. You say follow Muhammad, which is true. Follow Muhammad. So the word in individual ears and how we all identify with that or define follow Muhammad. So you're expressing it. So you're at, and I'm putting it in an open expression to action. So follow Muhammad. So now we have to think, I believe, and I pray you agree, we have to think on the A, on the step to follow Muhammad. And if we say that do we say our prayers? Yes. And after you say your prayers, do you verbalize that you believe in Allah and the last day? Yes. And then what? Are you giving in charity? Yes. Do you fast? Yes. Have you made Hajj? No. I plan on it. I'm planning for it. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Then, is that the extent of it? Where is the next step? Okay. You attend the masjid. You attend the masjid, and you attend the masjid, and you attend the masjid, and you're going over and over and over everything of attending and connecting back to follow Muhammad. And we have to have plans of engagement, I believe, in outside of the masjid. They look at the appearance of the community, physical aesthetics of the community, and how clean, praise be to Allah, what's keeping it clean? If it's people, the people live around the masjid, what distance is that? Are we communicating with them? Are we connecting with them? Why? Why are we connecting with them? Do we see some things that need to be done that can be improved at the city government level? There's so many arenas on that plateau, on the plateau of follow Muhammad, that we have to think, we have to plan, we have to allow everyone to vent at different times, such as yourself and myself, to vent and then bring it all back together and take some steps and take some steps. Some it may take a little longer than others. So I put that on the table for discussion.
Yeah, Martha, that's the way. Go ahead, Bilal.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, I'm just going to be repeating something, you know, with the knowledge. You know. The Imam is saying that, you remember the time that, he reflect on the time that man didn't even have in the school. Say, man, they had a fire department, he ain't had no police department, and he didn't have the name that needed for support, the progress. He said, you see, if you don't remember, we just see these things that we have now. He say, if you don't remember, you just see these things separate in time. separate out of the growth of the line of the people and their environment. He said, we see them out of that. See, when you see them out of that, they lose their importance. So we have to keep everything connected, and we will have to appreciate what we have as progress. Then we can work better. We can think better. We will have more energy to work with. If you don't keep things together, you just lose the connection. Your energy is dissipated, and you can't go far with your life. So these connections are they necessary. You know, Imam Muhammad, he goes about a process of showing us how to think and understand things. And this is study of the Quran, Islamic history or whatever, Quranic Arabic, but he's studying. So we get the volume, and all I'm doing just I'm in the book. I got the book on the government. I got the book, and I'm just reading it, you know. And so praise be to Allah. I mean, I'm trying to keep up with everything, you know, as we go along. So praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, I agree, and. You know, the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, gave us certain presentations in his life. The man coming to him asking for zakat or charity, and the Prophet insisting upon him thinking, because he kept repeating the idea of what do you have. When the man came there with a fixed mindset, I don't really have anything of value. His mind was fixed. I'm here to get some help, some charitable help from you, Prophet. I don't have anything. But the Prophet was insistent upon asking him the question, what do you have? And after several times, the man thought, well, I don't think much of this, but I've got this and I've got that. Maybe a broken cup or something. I forget what the items were. Well, the Prophet told him, well, okay, let's go to the marketplace. And these ideas are good food for thought. So they went to the marketplace. The Prophet bartered with someone that had a rope. And he bartered with someone that had an axe head, but there was no handle. Axe handle. He got the axe head. Okay, so the Prophet took those items that belonged to the man and exchanged them. And long story short, the axe head got a handle, and the rope was used to bundle the wood that was chopped down, and taking that wood that was chopped down and bundled back to the marketplace to sell in the marketplace. And the other ideas, the Prophet coming into the masjid, to one side there's a group praying, and another side there's a group sitting down studying the Quran. And he identified the group that was studying the Quran as being the better group. You know, these things stand out to help us to reason and find a balanced way of living al-Islam. The Prophet told us about God saying that the one who is most useful to society is the best. The one who, and before that, I think, the one who is most God-conscious. Well, God-conscious in the sense of understanding how the Quran is inviting us to a better human life, and how Prophet Muhammad is representing how to apply the Quran. Well, that's understanding. That's God understanding and guidance to how to be the better human being. Because if I understand those two mercies, I'm going to be better in terms of how I act towards my family and other relationships. I'm going to be better in the world in terms of working to make the world a better place. So the application, and this is something that I think we need to be more aware of. And that's the environment that we're operating in. You know, when I was coming up and came into the Nation of Islam, the environment respected family leadership, house of worship leadership, leadership in the society. The community understood being a good follower, you know, following individuals that were good and following ideas that were good. It's a different environment now. The shaitan has clouded all of this stuff. And people, I was just listening to something in regard to President John F. Kennedy's assassination. And the commentator was talking about how that affected the social life, the societal life, because the story that was given didn't add up with people that had scientific knowledge and people who were there observing. And so the commission that was set up to sell this story about a single gunman killing the president of the United States, It developed distrust, you know, because they were lying to the public and they held back information. We know some things, but we're not going to share them with the public until 50 years later, maybe, you know, I forget the number, the amount of time that they established to cover up this information that they had. So that brings about distrust. The idea of Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, that brings about distrust. The idea of Adam's wife Eve giving him the apple, that brings about distrust. How the environment is established by influential people that are really the leaders of the society, that we don't know their names. We know the politicians' names, but we don't know who these real influences are that have power and control over how the social life is going. So I'll stop with that. But Allah is over all of that, as I said earlier. We're going somewhere by Allah's will and plan.
I mean. We thank everyone who has shared. And we go now to new caller, 636-980, Kareem Hamid. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Almighty God. And I've heard some wonderful commentary. Praise be to Allah. You know, there's nowhere else I could tune in and hear the in-depth knowledge that has been shared. Praise be to Allah. You know, when we're studying the language of the Quran, we're advised to, or we may see a word. Then we are advised to look for the letters that leads to the root of the word. And when we reach the root of the word, it opens up a wide perception of that one word that we saw initially. But when we connect with the root of the word, it opens up a myriad of perception and use of that one word. The root is very important. It's very important. I'm saying that we know we have the Muslim journal, Time to Be Grateful, coming up next month. And I don't think we appreciate that publication to the degree that it should be respected and promoted. And I was sitting there and I looked in this edition of Muslim Journal, and they go to the root of Muslim Journal. And I'll be as brief as possible. I want to share with you the mission statement of Muslim Journal. It points to the root. And this mission statement says, Muslim Journal newspaper is committed to disseminate relevant news to the reading public as an independent weekly newspaper that recognizes Islam as a promoter of freedom, justice, and equality. Now, now they're going to the root of Muslim Journal in the next paragraph. It's written here, it is an inheritor. It is an inheritor of a standard of excellence dating back to 1827 when the first African-American newspaper, the Freedom's Journal, was published by Samuel Cornish and John Ruswarm. And the decisive newspaper, the North Star, was published in 1846 by Frederick Douglass. Muslim Journal picked up the mantle passed on by Malcolm X, El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, representing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in creation of the Muhammad Speaks newspaper in 1960. Muslim Journal's masthead reads, bringing humanity together with truth and understanding. Its working mantra, fill the void, see the full picture. It speaks not only to the material realm, but also to the spiritual realm of the human soul. Never failing to print a week's issue since 1975, its community news is disseminated utilizing the unique language and school of thought ushered by Muslim leader Imam W.D. Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad said, whenever the Muslim endeavors anything, he seeks to perfect it. Imam W.D. Muhammad said, we have the free choice and must choose the best among choices. Muslim Journal aspires to remain in the spirit of a free and clean press. The Muslim Journal pledges to its readers and advertisers, stay the course, hold the line. I'm saying that because of what was printed in the second paragraph. It is an inheritor of a standard of excellence dating all the way back to 1827. How many of us know that? You know? How many of us make those connections? And as I was reading, it ran across my mind, how many African-American newspapers do we have? So we are carrying on a legacy that began in, where is it at? Yeah, that began in 1827. We are an extension of that. And I think because if we recognize the root and its mission, we'll appreciate the paper more and see that it grows. I'll stop right there. Praise be to Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. And thank Allah for allowing another dimension to be brought into the process. That's what we were talking about. Governance and the process. That's the process by which we connect ourselves to. So alhamdulillah, on to, you know, well, what is written? What is written? And that comes from people's lives. That's expressed there in the paper, and what Allah SWT has blessed them with, much is there, you know, from education to governance to economics and socio-culture and beyond. Yes, sir.
Yes, yes, assalamu alaikum. Before we conclude, we've got a few more minutes, I see, but going back to this process that we've been utilizing to try to better understand our role in service to building a Muslim community life. We're looking at the ascension and the picture of Aaron, the brother prophet of Prophet Moses, alayhi salam, God's peace be upon both of them, and how that work that was left with Aaron was to hold the group that had left Egypt with Prophet Moses, to hold that group together while he got communication directly from Almighty God by going up to the mountain. And so during that time, those among the group were expressing openly their dissatisfaction and their intention to go back to the worship that they had when they were in Egypt. Even though they were being oppressed, there were those that valued the way a worship was done in Egypt, and so they wanted to use their jewelry, according to the story, to have a golden calf designed and built so that they could worship the golden calf, return to the idolatry that they had left. And so it's a picture of our challenge going through leaving this world, social conditioning of us, you know, all of the people in this society are less educated, and most of them, I should say, are less educated and more socially conditioned to fit in a certain place in the social life of America. That's a picture. The level of Aaron is a picture in terms of proper education, proper understanding of the education, proper applying the education towards the Muslim life and building a community and, you know, the business. You know, business has to have the principles of investment, where we as a people have been conditioned to be super consumers. The paradigm has to change to where we see investing our thinking, our energies, our behavior into having the kind of life that God wants for us. And I'll stop with that.
Yeah, I just, for the sake of time, too, I'd like to contribute right quick. When we understand the beauty of what we're talking about right now, community-wide, sure, y'all should have a conference. That community is a translation reflecting that those of you who are the servants of Allah and you follow his guidance and his human example of Muhammad, this is the community you should be trying to straighten out first, have cure, and look at what all of that Allah said, I have given you already, and go and make a plan. Start planning and putting in deeds and actions, your plan, as fast as you can come to a consensus on it, on how you're going to bring all of these Muslims and believers that are in the community of Prophet Muhammad. You just got to bring it together, you know, and be a model community for all the other communities because of their freedom of choice, made some bad decisions, and they have asked for forgiveness for it. And Allah said, I have given them now a model example for the last time of what they need to do to get away from the influence of the shaitan, who thinks he's better than you, and he thinks that he has a way to break up this community, this unity, this ummah. We say it all the time, but we're not looking at the definition of these translated words we're using. Community-wise, so it's talking about the community of Prophet Muhammad. Y'all need to come together first before y'all can help anybody. The best thing for any community on this planet that you can do for them is you, the community of Prophet Muhammad, get yourself together first. Imam Muhammad made it his last choice to say, now here's your leader. Build this model community based upon his example, his uswa,
his connected sayings and actions of the Quran, and then the world will have the refuge that they're looking for. They all know they have gone astray, but their influence on them, because of their blind, what they said, they're deaf, they're dumb, is still the shaitan puppetizing them and trying to be the Troy horse and get into the ranks of the community of Prophet Muhammad and kill it from the inside. Because his ways don't change either, divide and conquer. So we're wide open because we are not using the definition of community, right? It's Prophet Muhammad's community. And it's worldwide because Muslims are everywhere on this planet. And we have to call ourselves to shore in a conference. Otherwise, we have to come up and use some of this money, this time, this coordinating, take time out, take time off from your obligations to the dunya and come together and a consistent meeting and having mutual conversation on how we're going to establish this community called Al-Islam, which is the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad. And when we start focusing,
we're on 90 seconds, I apologize.
We'll be straight, inshallah. A lot quicker and faster, and we'll save children. Most important, just want to say that.
Okay, and I'd like to just say this. You know, Allah is over the whole plan, and Allah only Allah. What is conducive to the, and when I say 50 states strong, what is conducive to the Northeast, and then what's conducive to the Mid-Atlantic area, what's conducive to the Southeast, then the Central, North, and South, North, Central, and South, what's conducive to the West, North, Central, and South. Even the land and all of that, those persons who are willingly connecting with one another, they're operating just as what you were just declaring, Muhammad. And because we're not seeing everyone coming to one particular area to bring to focus those matters that you just espoused, it's happening. And just as we're speaking tonight, we're growing just from this process of Shura by opening the door, asking us to come and address anything that's in line with what we've planned. We've already planned, laid out a process, education, economics, governors, and we're proceeding each Saturday with a think tank process. That's what Shura is as well. And then on the presentation time, more will be pointed or focused on delivering a resourceful material, but we're also on the ascension. So the ascension tells us or guides us to know what kind of operation should be in place. So the next month, with a next level of ascension with Musa, oh, he hung up. Okay. The next level of the ascension, everyone, is Musa. And Musa, may Allah please him, he represents the governing structure. So structure, then we can be more applicable at that time, inshallah. Yeah. So when we say a process, we're submitting ourselves to the process. Alhamdulillah. I'll stop right there.
Do we have a minute?
Yes.
Okay, here you go. Here you go. We got to understand the process. Here you go. What we inherit is the community spirit, the spirit for the human community. We are not just inheriting properties that are to be established as the properties of individual human life. No, we are inheriting a urge, a spirit, a direction in our life that will connect others who have the same, and the purpose of it for us to form a social community, a community of people. That is why God said in the Quran, highly glorified is he that there are creatures that go about on this earth, and they have community like yours. That is to tell us that it is not only a description of human, this is a description of life, period. And I think we have to digest that one, and then we won't have no big problems with a lot of things. So praise be to Allah. That's from Imam Muhammad. I got the book. I'm just reading from the book. So praise be to Allah. Another thing. If Prophet Muhammad would just had identified his spirit as Arab, he would have never have found himself to be known as the God that woke up Muhammad, because he'd have been owning that Arab identity. So he wouldn't have got that. Cool, praise be to Allah.
Thank you, Bilal. Michael, do you have any tips for so that would do our please?
Okay, alhamdulillah. We pray Allah to guide us among those you've guided aright. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you give us, and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge, and none can judge against you, and those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Rabbana afrigh alayna sabran wa tawaffana muslimin. Our Lord, pour out on us patience and constancy, sabr, and raise us up to the completion of our promise as Muslims, true human beings. Ameen.
Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Tomorrow morning, everyone, Evolution of Revolutionary Thought and Creative Purpose, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's 7 to 9:30 a.m. And then 9:30 to 11 a.m., Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. First is with Imam Kareem Hamid, and the next is with Imam Delese Uma, along with recurring guests of Rabbani Muhammad and the co-hosting of Michael Hamid. And then 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 11 a.m. to 12, we're with William Kareem on the New Day for Al-Islam Community Radio with Culture Insight. And 12 to 1, his son, Ikivel Iquan, presents, you just have to be there, but he began his focus from how hip-hop, from its better arena, contributed to our lives, and little do we know, and how it has influenced as well politics and other areas. So then 5 to 7 p.m., Dakritha Abdul Hadi comes with Al-Islam and Focus from 5 to 7. And then 7 to 9 p.m., we're back. And inshallah, we pray that I'm not sure if Kareem Abdul Haq is able to join us, but we will be definitely coming from his book as he has resourced it very well. And December 7th begins A Light of Activities. That will be in connection also with the level of Musa. So let's see how it all goes, everyone. Please, please, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your patience and your understanding and your connection. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.